Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for August the 13th, 2015. Could I have a roll call, please?
Paul?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Spranger?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here. The board is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is responsibility of the board to interpret the zoning ordinance as they apply to special uses and variances. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and view the site in question and usually comes to make a decision at the meeting. Could I have a motion to approve the minutes of the July 9th meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Have a roll call, Lisa.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. The board to hold the following public hearings. Case number 15-049, 3475 Woodholm Lane. It's an R1 district. It's a request for a variance to increase the allowable garage size from 720 square feet to 1144 square feet to allow construction of a 26 by 44 foot garage submitted by Sandy and Richard Tillman. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. You visited this case last month. After considerable discussion, it was requested that it be deferred to this month when we might have more board members here, and I see that indeed we have a full board this month. So just a brief Reader's Digest recap of it. This is the site in question in the area of Valley Drive and Monks Road. They would like to place a 26 by 44 or 1,144 square foot garage. It would be within 5 feet of the side yard and 10 feet of the rear yard. Last month there was considerable discussion both from the applicant and the board regarding a previous approval over on Monks Road, and you asked staff to research that and bring you back the comparison between the two different cases. As you'll recall, that's the case that was brought up. Current case is in an R1 single family residential district. This case was on an A2 rural residential district. Those district intents are quite different, with low density single family units being the predominant features of the R1. However, the A2 speaks of allowing rural type settings, rural type buildings on larger lots that are sufficient for wells and septic systems. This approval that I'm displaying before you was on a 43,560 square foot lot. The current one is on a 13,500 square feet lot. Previous approval represented about 3.5% of the total lot area. This represents approximately 8.5%. Minutes of that meeting, I did research that, indicate there was a consensus that the request represented more of like an outbuilding in a rural setting than it did a large garage in an urban type lot. Also last month you asked if the applicants could bring you an illustration of what the garage would look like. They did provide that here this evening. This is an approximate representation of what the building would look like. Then they also wanted to show you in relationship to the building footprints on the lot how that would look. I believe all the other facts remain as they were last month, and that's the update I have to provide you with this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone wishing to speak in favor of this request? Go ahead, ma'am. State your name and address, please.
Hi, I'm Sandy Tillman. I don't think we really gave you maybe a good picture of how we want to use the garage. One of our problems with we have antique cars is like the size of the antique cars. When we had some bids coming over, in order for it to blend with the neighborhood, we didn't just go with a three-car garage in front, like 34 by 30, you know, for a three-car garage. We were trying to stay with the same width, so it blended in with the neighborhood and with the house to the side yard. Our cars are like the 60s and the 50s. Their average length is like 16 foot long. So even if we build a three-car garage, we're only going to be able to house two of our antique cars in it. They're still 6.5 feet wide. So by allowing us the additional 17 foot longer, we can actually house four of the cars in that garage. And that's kind of why, you know, the diagram to help you understand, it's not going to be a big building. It's to allow us to put the bigger vehicles in and to put four vehicles in it. So that way you know what, why we're looking for a little bigger garage. I mean, we can't go 42. It won't quite work because you still have to have a couple feet in between them. So that's kind of where we're at on why we did the 26 wide. If we would have asked for 28, we really can't put three vehicles together and still get out of them without the doors, you know, opening them up. So we have like a 58 Cadillac, a 57 Oldsmobile. They're big boats. And so in relationship, so you know why we are asking for it. It's not just because there's room. It's because that's our purpose for it. So that helps clarify why we want it bigger. It's not because we can or it's there. It's to help us house our cars that we want to put there.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify if there is some difference in what my report to you was and what we're seeing here, just so you know, I got the graphic here at the meeting this evening, so that's why I couldn't include that. It indeed does, the front does look like a two-car structure. It's just going to be additional width of that. That's why it was not included in the packet. Thank you.
Is there discussion among the board? I'd like to state that I'd like to give the applicant the highest and best use of their property as long as there's no opposition to it. Right across the street, there is a smaller garage that's similar to the same size of the house that is occupied there now. Also, within 300 feet of this property to the south and to the east a little bit, there's a concrete block garage that Thurnwanger Construction or Thurnwanger Trucking Company had years ago to work on trucks and so forth. They had semis parked there and everything. So it's not out of the realm of a larger garage in respect to that garage. So I will support their request, but you folks have the decision, so.
John, was that drawing there, exhibit attachment B, is that scale, do you know? No.
Well, I thought I tried to.
The house is 27 by 27.
Okay.
So the garage is actually 1 foot taller and 17 foot longer.
Okay.
So that's actually the addition.
Okay. It's been over a month since I made that graph. I don't recall if I scaled it or not. I'm sorry.
Too far. I say it looked pretty close.
I would say that looks close to scaled. You know who made that? Somebody scaled that?
No, it was just off the drawing of 27 by 27 and then taken the 5 foot increments.
Any other discussion here?
Well, I guess I would be interested to know if the the incidents or the situations that the chairman has cited as nearby are actually governed by the same zoning as this property and the neighborhood, the immediate neighborhood that it's in.
Mr. Chairman, were you referring to what's now the Zucker property?
The who?
Zucker.
I don't know who owns it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Thurwanger trucking company,
That
was down there off.
That, I believe, is the same zoning classification.
Yeah, it's a large concrete block garage building, high overhead door.
Yep.
And it's within 300 feet of this proposed garage.
Well, I'll make the motion. I make the motion to approve the increase of the garage from 720 to the 1144.
I have one quick question on the end
I'm
of
sorry.
That. The setback on the side, is that 5 feet?
That meets ordinance.
That's fine. Oh, okay.
Yes,
that was just a question.
It's an accessory structure that could be 5 feet. Yes.
Okay. So.
Is there a second?
A second for discussion, anyway.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
He wanted more discussion.
Oh,
is there anybody having a discussion? I'll just second it. Go ahead.
He seconded it, yeah.
I will make a comment or discussion point to that. I guess in this particular case, because of the area, I don't really think this would be precedent setting, because it is a very, even though the lots are small, it is pretty rural area. It's not curb and gutter. It's not really expandable, developable, you know, like some of the lots on the other side of Monk's Road, where it's, you know, planned, more planned development. So I don't really feel that this would be out of the I don't feel that this would necessarily be a precedent setting.
Yeah, there's a dramatic difference between
those two areas right there.
And two.
And so if there is development down there, it is most likely going to be in the same realm as what's down there right now, what they're building down there. So I guess I would just make that comment.
Okay.
I guess I would also like to thank the applicant for submitting the illustration of what the property actually would look like, which goes a long way in clarifying the issue about what we're actually talking about.
We've got a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Paul.
Yes.
Gallagher.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Reiner.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes. Case number 15-049 at 3475 Woodhall Lane in R1 District has been approved. Thank you, sir. Case 15-053 at 131 12th Street. It's a request for a special use permit to allow a fitness center, submitted by Seth Ross and Jan Butler. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. The site is located just west of the I-74 bridge, and it's near the entrance to Leech Park. It is the site that is highlighted in blue in the graphic being displayed. This is an industrial type building that has multiple different areas to it. They're requesting that two of those areas be allowed to be used as fitness centers. The fact that they're going to be two separate businesses really isn't the issue here. The special use is for the use, not the specific business. So it is a single request for a use, and that being a special use of a fitness center. In 2011, the board made the determination that fitness centers are an allowed special use in industrial zones under the similar and compatible clause of the code. And that was part of a case that was appealing staff's decision, and the board agreed with the appeal and that these should be allowed in industrial zones. The fitness center hours, in staff's opinion and in more detail it's shown in the report, should not conflict with the work hours of the other businesses and the other sections of this building. Typically they see large numbers show up before and after work, where people like to come and work out as either before they go to work or afterwards. There is ample parking from staff standpoint. There's 42 off-street parkings on this site. And just immediately adjacent to this site, there is a public parking lot that has 34 additional spaces, and that lot is typically underused. Only on a few days of the year that I think I described in the report as traditional boating days does it get filled up. Traditionally, it's very low usage, so combination of 76 spaces is kind of overkill for what is being asked here. 12th Street has very low traffic volume at this location. There'll be very easy access into the site. Staff does not anticipate any noise issues. When we went down there for site visits, the noise coming off the I-74 bridge is by far louder than anything going on in any of the other sections of this building. Staff believes that the request meets the code requirements for recommendation for approval of the special use. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. And there was an affidavit of publication?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
There are a couple of gentlemen here representing. I think they're here to answer questions, if you have any.
Okay. You have nothing to say, sir? Is there anyone in opposition to this request? Seeing none, the board have questions for this gentleman? I'd like to say that was a Mack truck distributorship. They sold new and repaired Mack trucks down there years ago. And the area that's being used, will the company that is in there now going to stay? Is that a fabricating company?
The QCA Spa, sir, has moved their location to DeWitt.
Oh, it was part
and,
of
Countertop Central is actually moving to would be the left of Area 2 there. They're actually moving into another portion of the building. They need more space.
Okay.
They're currently in Area 1, so they're getting significantly larger space.
Okay. Any other questions?
Do you actually anticipate that you would even have many people using that lot to the west?
Yes.
Please state your name and address, please.
Seth Ross with 1031 Fitness, Area 2. In regards to your question, I highly, highly doubt that even in our busiest times, if we were throwing an event, that we would be getting into the scenario in which we would need to use the lot to the west. I'm sorry.
Any other questions for the gentleman? Seeing none.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve case number 15053 for a special use permit to allow a fitness center at 131 12th Street.
I'll second that.
We've got a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 15-053 at 131 12th Street has been approved. Case 15-054 at 5094 19th Street in R2 District. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required setback from 25 feet to 10 feet for a 6-foot high fence submitted by Jennifer Buttonmeyer. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located at the intersection of three streets, 18th Street, 19th Street, and Lindenwood Drive. It is located just south of the Crow Ridge Shopping Center. It involves the lot that is highlighted in yellow in the illustration being displayed. Currently, the backyard of this property is surrounded by a fence. Predominantly, most of that fence is a 6-foot high fence, and then there is also a 4-foot high section of that fence on the north end. So you can see the difference between where the 6-foot lies on this property currently and the 4-foot. The request is to replace the entire fence with a 6-foot high fence in the exact same location. As you can see, there is a 10-foot setback area off of the property line on Lindenwood. There's also a 10-foot setback off of the property line on 18th Street. And on the 18th Street side, there are plantings and landscaping in between the fence and the property line. the code allows the 6-foot high fences on through lots with that landscaping requirement. The code states that, yes, on through lots, we realize you have two street frontages, but one of those street frontages is going to be end up being a backyard. So if you keep it 10 feet away, you make a landscape planting every 25 linear feet, it's allowed. The code doesn't recognize lots that have three street frontages, and it's very unusual actually for us to find these in the city, and therefore that's why they were required. They were allowed to put the 6-foot fence where they were, and not allowed to put the 6-foot fence adjacent to Lindenwood. Should this be approved, it seems the logical requirement to place that same requirement on this fence, regardless of whether it's to the west facing 18th Street or to the north facing Lindenwood. The same kind of buffering requirement for the 18th Street side seems to be logical if it's approved for the Lindenwood side. Also, in the interest, there's two reasons for this request. One is that, of course, they have a family pet, and the 4-foot fence they feel is not sufficient to secure the family dog in the backyard. And number two, it's in the interest of uniformity. If uniformity is the reason for this, then that planting requirement seems to be a logical continuation. And it also would seem to be a logical continuation that the entire fence be replaced and not just the 4-foot section, so that everything matches. This fence has been there for years and years. It's weathered because of sunlight and just age. I did speak to the applicant before the meeting, and that is the intent, is to replace the entirety of the fence. So if allowed, it will have that uniformed look, and it's up to you whether you, if you approve it at all, whether you want the landscaping. I believe that summarizes the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
If you have any questions, sir.
It's up to the board here. You have anyone have any questions of the lady?
Not yet.
The only question I would have is whether or not...
Could you go to the
mic? Want to go to the podium, thanks, please, and state your name and address, please.
Jennifer Buntemeyer, 5094 19th Street.
My question surrounds John's staff's comments about the continuity of landscape requirement around the north side, or what is currently the 4-foot side of the fence and would become 6-foot. Is that an objectionable stipulation to the applicant?
Would it be a requirement for me to plant trees? Is that the...
Trees are not the only thing. It's typical type landscaping. There are other things that there are other options, shrubs, things like that.
Sure, I wouldn't oppose to that. No.
And it's one planting every 25 linear feet.
And what's the approximate linear feet on that line there?
Oh, I did not measure that. I would.
Does the applicant know? Do you know?
That'd be 100 feet.
How much footage you're talking about?
No, I do not, sir.
We're talking about over
50, 60 feet.
Four or five plants.
Four or five plants, yes.
At the most.
Okay.
Any other discussion for the applicant?
I have questions for John.
No. Bryce?
No.
As we leave our office up at the annex building, there's fences like that right across the street from Devil's Glen, and they all have those plantings in between. It does buffer it, even though it seems one every 25 feet doesn't seem like much. It does help.
It helps, yeah, sure. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there a motion by the board?
I'd like to get some clarification from John. Okay, so the fence is the requirements, if she keeps a 4-foot fence, she can put it even up to the property line. Could
absolutely. It would not have to stay 10 feet back.
Correct.
If this gets replaced and that section, the 4-foot section is replaced, it could go right out to the property line adjacent to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. And we consistently, you know, the 6-foot along 18th Street, that's already taken care of. We're mm-hmm. not even discussing that. If the ordinance requires if you have a 6-foot fence, to have the 25-foot setback?
No. It has...
Along Lindenwood?
Yes, to put it in the buildable area. Yes, I'm following. Yes.
Front yard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a 25-foot setback
yes.
requirement on Lindenwood if it goes to a 6-foot fence.
Yes.
Okay. I guess I read there's a couple of cases in here that have been approved, but both of the cases that are in the staff report were regarding fencing that was along 18th Street, which is an arterial, you know, recognized arterial that we've been regularly approving, those types of things. So both of those, I don't really feel completely apply to this particular situation. A couple of years ago or a year or so ago, we had a meeting and there was a case that we did not approve. It was along Summer Tree.
Beyond this lot that's being displayed right now?
It was, yeah. It's along Summer Tree.
Allen Court and Summer Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Road, I believe, yes.
Right.
And that request, with this being Allen Road here, was to place the fence right out to the property line and in this area here. There are all sorts of issues with that. 100-foot wide pipeline easement that goes through that property. The entirety of that requested fence was going to be out to the property line, not set back 10 feet. And if you look, that whole area there is a utility easement. So that fence, the whole entire fence on this side would have been on a utility easement. So we have easement where the fence is and easement where the fence is. Now they did get approval from the pipeline to cross it, as I remember.
Right.
Yes.
They had already pre-approved that, I believe,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly. And so the issue with regards to that case was the 4-foot or the 6-foot fence.
Out to the property line.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if we were discussing whether or not we would allow them to go 10 feet.
I read the minutes too, and I didn't see that in there. I know there's been discussions about that in the past, if people would set it back and put some type of landscaping. I thought maybe that was one of them, but I didn't see it in the minutes.
I don't recall. I mean, I believe, and somebody could point something out, I believe our criteria has been that on these types of streets like Summer Tree, two, you know, residential streets that are not recognized arterials through the community, that we have not been allowing the 6-foot fence in the setback. We also had another one that's actually referred to in the minutes from that previous case on, was it Greenbrier and I can't remember.
And right across from the school?
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it was on Greenbrier and they wanted to do this as well, put a 6-foot fence because they had a greyhound.
Is that out to the property line as well? I can't, I thought it was right out to the property line as well.
The meeting minutes to know.
Yeah.
That was south of 53rd.
Yeah. South of Crow Creek.
Yeah, it's over there
Crow
by Paul.
Yes, sir.
Crow Creek, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a long time ago, but I thought there was even some line of sight issues. I don't recall.
But there's a lot. It was a previous precedent set that, you know, a lot of those fences over there were 4 feet, and they were along the property line. So I think he wanted to do it along the property line anyway,
so
just for continuity's sake, if anything. So I guess my feeling is, you know, I don't see this as being a hardship. I don't, you know, I guess I'm not necessarily in favor of a 6-foot fence along that residential street side at this, you know, unless there's some discussion that could convince me or other.
Is there any line of sight issues with a 6-foot fence on that side?
No. No.
Well, my recollection of the site visit was that there is a 6-foot fence on that north side, that the 6-foot fence turns the corner and runs some unspecified distance to the east before it tapers down to a 4-foot fence.
Which would be in the triangle that we're talking about, and it's well outside of that visual
triangle. I looked at it specifically from a vision standpoint.
Yes, there's no vision. And yes, I think you're right. There's at least one or two panels right here that's already 6 foot.
Right.
It looks like they're, at that time, they wanted it to taper down to the 4 foot. So, but I think there is one or two panels that are up to the 6 foot level already. Yes,
if I recall correctly, I think you're right. And that's probably, yeah, and that's a transitional thing too. You just can't help. You can't just drop off to a different level fence just suddenly like that. That would be very aesthetically pleasing. I guess I'm asking for any discussion from anyone else.
Well, the only question we had a case not too very long ago out off of Crow Creek Road and Monks Road where we had a similar corner lot that I think we extended the 6-foot fence on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about a block.
And it seems to me like it was similar to this. It was kind of on, it jutted out, and the street came in around, and so it had a street on three sides of it as well.
He was facing, his front was not facing Monks Road. It was facing the side street, whereas there were many other
trees and so forth.
Yeah, there were all sorts of lots that were backing up to Monks Road, and so they had 6-foot fences all the way along there. And then at the corner, his house was oriented the other direction. It was oriented so that the house was not backing up to Monks Road. It was the side. And so we allowed him to continue that fence all the way to the end of the garage,
basically somewhere? Up his side yard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what this is, the side yard.
Right. It's not really a continuation of any fence to the north or to the east or the west, though. Whereas that other case you're talking about, I guess I would contend that that's a continuation of all those other 6-foot fences that are coming that are along that Monks Road.
Since we went down that area and are trying to think, was there one at Charter Oaks and Monks? Where we allowed the 6-foot fence adjacent to Monks Road and it was set back? Southwest corner.
I can't remember, John.
Okay.
If I go out and look at it, I can.
My only point is that I don't want to be precedent setting with moving fences around. 4 feet is okay if you're 10 feet away, but it's not okay, or 6 feet is okay if you're 10 feet away versus on the property line.
When I mentioned the hardship in the report, The reason I did so is it's very unusual to have three street frontages. And I'm not sure that there's going to be a precedent on very many lots that are going to have three street frontages. But your point is well taken.
Yeah. Well, I'll make a motion. We could banter on that forever. I'll make a motion on case number 15-054 that we accept the variance to reduce that required setback for the 6-foot fence from 25 to 10 feet.
Are you going to require the landscaping?
Landscaping?
Oh, yeah, and we'll do, yeah, require the landscaping, was that every 25 feet?
Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
So the motion is to approve case 15-054. Is there a second? And we had a second. Would you call the roll?
Holt?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes, with the understanding that we're not just approving it, we're approving it with the additional requirement for plantings.
Right.
Plantings, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Johnson?
Nay.
Spanger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 15-054, 5094 19th Street and R2 District has been approved. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, sir.
Case 15 is 055 at 3224 Valley Winds Drive. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required front yard setback from 35 feet to 30 feet to allow for construction of a house submitted by Dave Pachaska. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you. I know we'll have one member abstain from this vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located on the northwest corner of Valley Winds Drive and Field Psych Road. It involves the lot that is highlighted in yellow. The applicant would like to reduce the required setback from 35 feet to 30 feet adjacent to Valley Winds Drive. The graphic before you shows that, if approved, the setback for that house would be the same as the other two just north of this. The reason a variance is required on this lot is back when this subdivision was developed, there was a requirement for staggered setbacks. So some of them would be at the 30-foot level, some would be at 35, some 40, and this corner lot was the one that got the 35 instead of the other ones 30. That's why these could be built without variances, and then this one now needs a variance. We have adopted a new part of the code that allows you to offset a portion of the house staggeredly to give that same non-uniform look in these subdivisions. However, that I don't believe was offered as an option at the time that this subdivision was developed. That's why they're coming in to ask for a variance at this time. The applicant would like to build a house with a walkout basement. Even if the variance is granted, as you can see from the graphic being displayed now, the footprint of the house will cover almost the entirety of the buildable area of this lot. Given the type of houses that this area has developed with, trying to match them aesthetically and in size, this is the reason that the builder has chosen the house that they've chosen. And obviously they're having difficulty making it fit on the lot. If they have to take an additional 5 feet either off of the front or the back of the building, and that's why they're requesting the variance.
Thank you.
I believe that summarizes it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? State your name and address, please.
Dave Prochaska. My address is 5848 Hopeview Court. Basically, what John said is right. One of the things that kind of threw a monkey wrench in this whole thing is when I went down to the city and got the original plot, it does show a 30-foot front setback. So we designed the house for that. When the foundation guy went to work up his numbers, He's working off a different plat that shows 35 feet. I just went to the city half hour before I came to the meeting. The plat that they have is a 30-foot setback. So it seems to be, you know, we were kind of led to believe one thing and then some other, and this doesn't happen every day, but I've seen it happen before where there's one plat that, you know, somebody else was going off of. And so essentially with, you know, having 40 foot in the back, 30 foot on field psych, and 30 to 35 foot, whichever plat you go off of, you only have a small area to build on as is. So, you know, it is compliant with the zoning. And as John mentioned, I'm involved with another subdivision where we were given that opportunity to either, you know, stagger the garage, you know, pull the garage forward or something, so at least 20%. You can see from that picture, it is staggered. You know, isn't all in a conforming line. So, anyway, any questions?
Any questions for the gentleman? Bob or Mary? No? No? Thank you, sir. Any discussion? Is there a motion?
I move we approve case 15055, 3224 Valley Winds Drive.
Is there a second?
A second.
Been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Present.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Hologer?
Yes. Case 15-055 at 3224 Valley Winds Drive in R1 District has been approved. Thank you, sir. Case 15-056 at 3885 Middle Road, a C5 District. It's a request for a special use permit to allow a drive-in banking facility submitted by Blackhawk Bank and Trust. There's an affidavit of publication.
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located south of the intersections of Middle Road and Belmont Road and involves the site that is outlined on the graphic being displayed. Blackhawk Bank and Trust will be constructing a new bank facility on a portion of this triangular parcel, lot number 2 on this side here. Will be deeded to the city and will be developed as a pocket park by our Parks Department. So only this portion is where they're requesting the special use to allow a drive up for the bank. Access points will be primarily off of Middle Road and Belmont Road, and there'll be a secondary type access off of Old Belmont Road. Staff feels there's more than sufficient ingress egress access into the site. The drive up will be accessed by driving east into the facility. The drive up will be located on the south side of the bank. There'll be 3 drive-up lanes and an ATM machine, the ATM being on the southernmost portion of the graphic. The bank will keep normal bank type hours for this drive-up facility. The ATM will be available 24/7. In the interest of buffering, they will put an extensive berm and buffering area on the south side of the drive-up facility, between that drive-up facility and the residential area. The nearest portion of the facility, that being the ATM, will be approximately 175 feet away from any of the nearest homes. Drive-ups are very common on bank facilities. It's almost a sure thing that when a bank comes, they're going to have the drive-up facility with it. Last Tuesday evening at our facility, we held a neighborhood meeting with all the neighbors from Belmont Meadows, and the developer and the bank officials, and everybody left the meeting in agreement that they had come up with a plan that was satisfactory to everyone. Staff obviously in the report addressed all of the issues that's required for recommendation of a special use and does make that recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Please state your name and address, please.
Mike Richmond with Townsend Engineering in Davenport, representing the owner. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Anyone have any questions on this?
Nope.
Bob?
I have no problem whatsoever with the drive-up facility for the bank. I guess, if we, as a plan zone approved this site plan as far as ingress and egress is concerned?
What, they turned it down at the last meeting. They had a different ingress egress plan. Basically, one of the main egress was into the residential neighborhood. So, and they also were looking at lot two being a developable lot that they want to do some commercial development on. So after working with staff and a deferral from Planning and Zoning Commission, that's when the different access plan was developed and decided that that lot two was going to be more useful as a park rather than selling it as a commercial property.
Is this the final access plan?
Yeah. This is what will go to Planning and Zoning Commission next week.
I would think that on the lot two, we should that somebody should consider an ingress and egress. There's plenty of room, especially if it's going to be a park now, to bring that ingress and egress in a little bit different fashion. Put some sort of a median in at that point so that the ingress will go in and a flow come in and flow to the north. The going out will flow to the south, so you don't have people trying to come in and go left instead of right coming in there. I also question a little bit your double ingress and egress off of Belmont. It just seems like you could utilize Belmont Road better, or you could put in an ingress and egress. Now, that Belmont Road ingresses and egresses for the church, so it just seems to me that especially if they're not going to use lot two as another commercial development, that they could come up with a better ingress and egress. That's
well,
my
just
personal
for
feeling. I'm not sure what that has to do with the Board of Adjustment.
For clarification, the only full access point is Old Belmont Road.
Yeah.
The secondary access off of Middle and the access off Belmont Road are both right in, right out only. So it eliminates traffic conflict.
And it might be confusing because they show on the landscape plan, they show left and right, which is not correct.
Well, that's the guy you want to yell at right there.
The landscape plan,
well, we didn't
don't
do
show
the
right in,
plan,
right, yeah, right in, right out, so you might want to fix that.
Yeah, we'll get our landscape
but,
right.
Yeah. But the way it's drawn, it's right in, right yeah. out only.
Okay.
At both both Middle and Belmont.
There's no entrance.
Is there a barrier between the two lanes to go left?
Well, they've got the lanes, they're turning such that it'd be very difficult for somebody. Is that going to be a raised median?
No.
In those right in, right out?
Oh, in the right in, right out.
Yeah, that will be.
Okay. So they would have a hard time turning left.
Yeah.
Coming out of either
and on Belmont Road, we're also talking about extending that median down past the right in, right out. There's a raised concrete median that goes just about to the center of that right in, right out. We're talking about extending that a little bit farther to the southeast.
Yeah, it's not ideal because on Devil's Glen Road, we had that haircut place, the clinic there that is right at 53rd, and it's real similar to that. It's just, it's right there. You turn, if you're coming south, you have to turn right in and you got to go right out. You can't make a left there. This is a similar situation.
Well, I'm in favor of the lanes. Drive up. I just wish we could figure out a better configuration for in and out, but if you can't, you can't.
I think since our purview is just the special use for the lanes, as long as these issues are taken care of and looked at by P&Z and comfortable with the special use. Anybody else?
Is there adequate parking for the proposed park facility?
You know, there's probably going to be at least 6 months to figure out exactly how that's going to be utilized. There's been discussion that rather than make a traditional park with playground equipment on it, let's put some resting areas. The recreation trail does go right by there. Maybe a sculpture, water fountain, those types of things, but that'll eventually be flushed out by the park board as to how they want to utilize it.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else? Sir, do you have anything else to say?
No, I don't.
John? No? Is there a motion by the board?
I'll move. I'll move we approve 15056 3885 Mill Road for a special use permit to allow the drive-in banking.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
And a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Hulk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 15-056 of 3885 Middle Road, a C5 district, has been approved. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chairman, if I could have just one more second. Hopefully you all received an email from me. The city attorney has asked me to do some research and some of the garage issues that you have been
Hammered with.
Okay, I was trying to come up with the word. That's just an initial analysis of what has happened over the past 5 years, what the requests are like. We floated an idea of maybe calculating the livable area differently. Also been asked by the city attorney to see what some other cities are allowing or not allowing. We're compiling those numbers. I'll get those to you during this next month, and I believe staff will be coming before you next month with a proposal for an ordinance change to see if we can address the number of times you're visiting the issue of garage sizes. I don't think we have the answer yet.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second?
Second.
We're adjourned.